later. But good morning. I hope everyone had a great and a very Merry Christmas with family, with loads of food, with traveling or fun activities. I hope you guys had an awesome time. And so today, we're done already with our Advent series. But the story of Christmas continues. Because just like God kept his promise of sending a Savior into the world by entering human history, he continued to fulfill his promise by accomplishing our salvation through the death and resurrection of that Savior, Jesus. So the Christmas story doesn't end in a manger. It starts right there, and it continues on, and it's fulfilled in the risen Christ. The God who walks with us, opens the scriptures to us, and continues to reveal himself to us in many ways, just as he did with some of his disciples on the very first Easter. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the New Testament. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. You can follow in your Bibles, or you can follow in the text behind me, or on your phone. It's all right. Okay. So Luke 24, 13 through 35, it says, "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to men in the breaking of bread." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this season of Christmas, of cheer, of being together, God, and as well of slowing down, pausing from our work to recognize and remember that you once came to walk with us. And here we see now you walking again with your people. So I pray that the words of my mouth may be according to your glory, may be according to your will. May they be for your glory, God. May you open our ears to hear what you have prepared for us today, and may you open our eyes as well so that we can see you. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was in seminary up in the North Shore, one of my favorite classes was Christ in the Old Testament, taught by Dr. Gordon Hugenberger. And some of you may recognize his name. He's pretty famous around here. And it was my favorite class, not because of the professor's endless baseball references or his courage or bluntness to share his opinion on certain biblical stories that go against popular opinions, like the story of Samson, whether or not he slept with Delilah. He says that, no, that did not happen. He stated himself a true Nazirite. And so he builds a really strong case on that. And so many other stories like that. It was one of my favorite classes with him because it was like walking into a TED Talk of the Old Testament. This was in the summer, so it was a really cool time to sit in. I'm really glad I took that class, but I would exchange the 30 hours of lectures from a distinguished professor, pastor, and person for just 5 minutes to walk with Jesus and just hear one story of how he is explaining how all the Old Testament points to him. Just 5 minutes of how the story of Abraham or Noah and the Ark, how a specific psalm points to him. Here we see two disciples who got more than 5 minutes. They got about maybe 2 hours or so of Jesus explaining how all these stories in the Old Testament point to his suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus meets these two disciples and explains how it was necessary. It was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and die in order to redeem Israel. Jesus met them in their sadness, in their confusion, and disillusionment, but they did not recognize him. Have you ever felt like these two disciples here? Have you ever felt like God is distant? Maybe you've been walking through a season of disappointment, confusion, or even doubt. Maybe this past Christmas wasn't like the one you had hoped for. Maybe this coming year isn't looking that promising. Maybe it is. But let me tell you, you're not alone. We see here two disciples who knew Jesus in person. These two disciples who saw many amazing things and heard him speak. They're now walking away from Jerusalem. But in their struggle, Jesus yet again takes the initiative to draw himself near to them, to meet with them, and reveal himself to them. The story isn't just about what happened on the road to Emmaus. It's about how Jesus continues to meet with us today. Despite our messiness, despite how far we may be from God, this is about Jesus meeting us today, specifically through his word and communion. Without disclosing his true identity to Cleopas and the other disciple, notice in verse 27 how Jesus first explained the Old Testament, starting from the writings of Moses and all the prophets, that is from the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, since Moses is the writer of Genesis, to the last, Malachi. He explained and interpreted how all these 39 books point to the Christ and how he needed to go through all the suffering to die and be buried. It wasn't that the disciples didn't know what the scripture said. They were Jewish. They knew their scriptures. And they knew the Jesus they did ministry with. They knew the Jesus that walked in water. The Jesus who fed over 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days being buried. Look at verse 19. It says how the Jesus they knew, they not only saw him as a prophet and as a mighty teacher. They no longer saw Jesus as their Messiah, as the Son of Man, who came to redeem his own, who came to establish justice and righteousness. The disciples' faith was shaken. They were sad, they were hopeless, and they were walking away from Jerusalem. But Jesus is so gracious and merciful that he meets them. He doesn't wait for them to figure things out or come back to Jerusalem. He meets them in their confusion, in their grief, and in their doubt. Isn't this how we often feel? When life doesn't go as planned or hoped for, when we're hit with a curveball out of nowhere, God can feel distant. But even when you don't see God, or even when you don't feel him close, he is walking with you. He walks with you with patience and with love, inviting you to tell him your disappointments, your confusion, your doubts. He's an omniscient God. He knows already all the things that we're going through. But he is inviting you to tell him. He wants you to tell him. There's just something special about that. We can do that, and we're able to do that. And when we do that, we recognize our identity as his sons, as his daughters. Children who can go to the Father about anything. So as we see Jesus right here walking with the two disciples, he shows them everything in the Old Testament. The story of creation, Noah and the flood, the Exodus, Psalms, the prophets, how everything points to him. And I'm sure he walked with them through Genesis 3:15, where Adam and Eve eat of the forbidden fruit, and then God promises that the offspring of Eve would crush the serpent's head, and that the serpent would only bruise Jesus' heel. How Jesus descended all the way from Eve by going through the genealogies in the book of Numbers and Chronicles. This is why it's important to read through all the Bible. Even when we see a lot of numbers in the book of Numbers, it's there for a reason. It's in the Bible for a reason. And so here we see, I mean, one of the reasons is how it points to the descendant genealogy of Jesus. And so there are so many promises in the Old Testament that point to his death, to his coming, to his death and resurrection. There's about 350, more than 350 prophecies in the Old Testament that point to the Christmas story, to the life of Jesus and his resurrection. There's no time to go through every single one. Maybe we can go through this in a future Sunday school. We'll see. But he shows them all that in their walk to Emmaus. He shows them what had just happened a few days ago was not lost hope, but it was all part of God's plan of redemption. And this is how Jesus meets us today. When you open your Bible, you're not just reading any other book or words on the page. You're encountering the very living, active, and authoritative Word of God. You're encountering Jesus. But how? How does Jesus help you recognize him in Scripture as a true and risen Savior? Well, it's primarily through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit who helps you to illuminate the Word and enables you to understand and empowers you to apply his Word in your life. You can read John 3:16 1,000 times and it's going to hit you 1,000 different ways. Why? Because the Word of God is living and active, as we see in Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is able to transform anyone's heart and life. So when you're engaged in Scripture and you feel the presence of God, it can shape your heart. It can help your mind to recognize Him more clearly and have the spiritual clarity in the context of daily ups and downs. Memorizing certain verses like Isaiah 55 verse 9, which says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This is a powerful verse that it's not really cool just to memorize, but to meditate on every time. It's a verse that can grant us peace by leaning on God and trusting in His ways when things seem out of order. It can stabilize your thoughts and acknowledge that God is the one in control and not our performance. That God is a creator and we are His creation. That He is walking with you. Going back to the text in verse 28, it says, "By this time, they," Cleopas and the other disciple, "were nearing Emmaus and the end of the journey." Right here, when the disciples reach Emmaus, they urge Jesus, still without recognizing who He really is, to stay with them. And He stays with them, and at the table, He takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. In verse 31, it says, "Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him." Who's writing this story? Luke. And Luke writes this with intention to echo the Last Supper, right before Jesus is betrayed in the upper room with the 12 disciples. Jesus does the same thing. Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, gives it. And we see the same order of the verbs right here as well. Why is Jesus doing this? I mean, why is Luke doing this right here? To remind us that He is present in the breaking of the bread. We here at Grace Fellowship, we take communion every first Sunday of the month, which is also family worship. Communion, the bread and the wine. We hear and remember that the bread symbolizes the flesh of Jesus and the wine His blood. We remember His perfect sacrifice, Him taking our place and the cost of our forgiveness. We remember all this, but also when we come to the Lord's table, we encounter His real presence. He's not physically in any element, but His presence is real. And He meets us with grace and love. And it is here, when the disciples are breaking bread with Jesus, that their eyes are opened and they recognize Him as a loving, forgiven God who continually walks with us. This is the God who meets us in our confusion, disappointments, and doubts. And when we come to the table together, as we will, if you're here next Sunday, we take it together because we are His body and we are His people. And it was through the breaking of the bread when the two disciples remember that, but also were pointed back to the cross where Jesus' body was broken for their salvation and for your salvation. And He pointed them forward as well to the time when we will all meet with Him and take communion with Him when He comes back to fully establish His kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank You for being a good God who draws near to us, who even in our confusion and doubt, just as You walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, so You walk with us today, patiently, lovingly, and faithfully. Thank You, Lord, for meeting us in the Scriptures. where your word reveals your truth in your heart. Open our eyes to recognize you in every page. Let our hearts burn within us as we encounter your promises and are reminded of your steadfast love, God. God, thank you for meeting us in the table, at the table, in the breaking of bread, where you meet us with your presence and remind us of the depth of your sacrifice. Strengthen our faith, nourish our souls, and fill us with the hope of your resurrection. Walk with us, Jesus, in every moment of our journey. Help us to recognize you more clearly every day. In Jesus' name, amen.